a person who desires to minister for the Lord must be called. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Right off the bat, Paul says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of myself. No, it doesn't say that. It says by the commandment of God. He wasn't self-appointed. He wasn't a self-appointed apostle. He wasn't a self-proclaimed teacher. Or, you know, and you see, that's not what happened. He was called by God. And we remember the story of Damascus Road, where he encountered Jesus in the midst of persecuting God's church. You know, because the Bible does say that in the midst of the worst of our sins, right when we were committing our sins, Christ died for us. And that's when he loved us. But it says here that Paul received a commandment, and the word actually means a royal commission from God to serve him. So in verse 3, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. They desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 3, I have urged you to stay in Macedonia. As I went to Macedonia, Timothy, stay in Ephesus. You kind of get the feeling that he didn't want to stay in Ephesus. Why would Paul write that, right? Timothy was very easily discouraged. He was young, and Ephesus was not a place where a young person, so to speak, would want to minister. Ephesus was a city in whose capital and whose central, you know, focus was a temple to the goddess Diana, and she was the goddess of sexual pleasure. And you may recall that in the book of Acts, chapter 19, when Paul first visited Ephesus, there was this big deal, because here in this culture, and particularly in this city, a lot of people would buy these idols, and I've actually seen one of these idols to Diana. And basically, they would present these idols, they would pray to these idols, and so a very thriving business in Ephesus was idol making. Silversmiths, craftsmiths, they would make idols all the time. Well, imagine this, Paul comes into town and people are getting radically saved by the Lord. And they're turning from the idolatry, they're accepting the Lord, and here this guy named Demetrius comes up and says, I'm losing business. You Christians, I hate you. You're taking away my business. People aren't buying my idols anymore. So there was a big conflict here. When the Christian witness started going out in Ephesus. And this is where Timothy was. Paul left him there and continued on, and Timothy was kind of, you know, meek, kind of shy. And Paul wrote this to remind him of the boldness and authority that he has in Christ. It's kind of funny. You know, there's lots of examples of who God calls. And I think of Gideon. Gideon was in a, sort of like in a silo kind of thing, in a threshing floor. He was threshing the wheat, and it was during, he was doing it inside the silo because the Midianites were attacking the land, and he basically needed to provide food. And if you know about, you know, when you take a piece of wheat and you go like this and you throw it up in the air and the seed falls, the kernel falls down, there's a lot of chaff. Well, it's really hard to do inside a silo, if you can imagine that, without the wind. So it's just a big mess in there. And here he's working in there, not very important guy at all. And that's when the Lord appeared to him and called him out to minister. Also, David, he's out in a field somewhere, some farmer, right? He's just tending sheep. And one day he's called out for the service of the Lord. I even think of who was spoken to, you know, the shepherds out in the fields. You know, the king is born, you know, the son is given, you know, come and see. All that to say, if you think that right now you're not doing much for the Lord, double check yourself. Because it's the everyday natural stuff that you do before the Lord and for the Lord. That's where the Lord calls people out of. I know that with myself, I was waiting. I was waiting for something spectacular. Like, God, spell it in my alphabet soup. You shall be a whatever. You know, let me know. Spell it in the clouds, Lord, you know? You know, hit me with some lightning. Oh, come on. But no, the Lord's not like that. Because it's our everyday walk. And then, yeah, then he'll get us. If he wants to call us in a different direction, then he'll pull us out. The Bible says, who has despised the day of small things? You know, there aren't small things to the Lord. David's running. He wasn't going to run and fight Goliath. He was running to bring his brother some food, you know. But look what happened in the end of that. So the Bible says that the Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So in your everyday workplace, you mean your workplace? You know, got to go to work. I got to go to school. You know, that's ministry. You are a minister. You're already a minister, whether you like it or not. You are. You're it. So I'm reminded of Moses, and, you know, when God called him, now this is me, excuses. God calls you to do something, and I offer excuses. You know, I don't like standing here, to be honest. I mean, I do because I love you guys, but at the same time, you know, Pastor Don's put up with excuses for years as to why I would not start a college ministry, like for years. I can't speak well, I'm not perfect, you know, all these different excuses. And it's funny, with the Lord, you can never find reasons. You can only find excuses because he has the provision for everything you need. So here I am, and like Moses, I can't speak for you, Lord. I don't have the words. But one day God said, Moses, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Moses had a stick, a rod, right? That's all he had, a gnarly old rod that he carried around. And he said, well, throw it down. And it became a snake. And he said, pick it back up again. And he picked the rod back up. Now, this is the same rod that when he came before the waters, you know, he lifted it up and it parted. Remember, it parted the waters and they passed through. All that to say this, what is in your hand? What do you have? Moses had a stick. Some of us start even better than that. But he had a stick. But the idea is this. He had a gift, and he gave it to the Lord. He took the snake out of his gift. You know, I can use piano. I can have a snake in my gift. I can use piano for my own gain. I can do it to become popular or to get money or whatever else, and I can run up to every person I know and say, I went to this school or I did this and that. You know, and that's a snake in the gift. You know? But taking the snake out of the gift and giving it up to the Lord. Moses had a stick. I'm just, the Lord uses the weak instruments, the things that you wouldn't suppose anything can come out of it. So we all have gifts, no matter what they are. Great things can happen when it's empowered by God. So I want to keep pressing on here. Verse 4 says, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification. And you remember the story in John 8 when they said, you know, the Jews said, we're children of Abraham, Jesus. By blood, we're going to inherit the kingdom of God because we are children of Abraham. Jesus said, no, you're confused. You're confused. Abraham believed upon me, in faith, and it was imputed him as righteousness. And what Jesus was saying was, it doesn't matter. God has no grandchildren, right? It's what are you before God, and that by faith you were saved. By grace you were saved through faith. And so he was trying to set them straight as far as the children of God are children of faith. They're not children by blood. So endless genealogies that cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. One of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to turn to it and read it, is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Just a very specific thing as far as my life as to what I believe the Lord has called me to do personally in ministry. It says in verse 40, chapter 1, "Beat, yes, beat my people, says the Lord. Beat them up and make them cry in Jerusalem." That's not what it says. Just make sure everybody's awake. Comfort. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. It's kind of interesting. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, and the first 39 chapters of Isaiah speak more along the lines of the law and the judgment of God. But at chapter 40, all the way to the end, which is the exact number of books in the New Testament, you know, I'm not into Da Vinci Code or anything, but I think it's neat. That transition starts with the sentence, "Comfort my people." It's the turnaround in the book of Isaiah, which is, I just think it just is really cool. But comfort my people. A lot of people ministry like to beat things into you, right? Because they know where you should be with the Lord. You should be here, you should be there, and I've done it too. Try to make people as I feel like they should be, which is a shame. And comfort and encouragement every Sunday. To comfort each other, to encourage each other. I mean, we need encouragement. I need encouragement. I'll just let you know. Like I said, practice on me, because I need encouragement. I need to know that the Lord loves me from another person sometimes. You know, because we all struggle with the basics, right? I just need to know that. I just need to know that, you know, gosh, no matter who you are or what he does, he just loves you. So this is good time to just comfort each other.